Back to John's Gospel, chapter 3 today, and we're going to do a rerun of this area of the interview between the Lord and Nicodemus. So let's begin at the opening verse, John 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today as we bring the message of the gospel. And as we've just been reading from John chapter 3 on Nicodemus, that interview with the Lord, we come to the whole subject of the new birth, regeneration, the miracle of being indwelt by the Spirit of God. And so we learn that salvation is more than just rules, regulations, and a commitment to an institution. Salvation is a relationship with the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, and it is to be born by the Spirit into the family of God. And this is dramatic, it is life-changing, and it is all the difference from trying to pull yourself up by your own bootlaces and the power of God working within the soul. And so I invite you to stay tuned with us right through the program today as we come to this subject of the new birth experience. What a wonderful thing to be, have the life of God within your soul. And I invite you to explore that today. So open your Bible, John chapter 3, look at the text, Nicodemus speaking to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord answering him, Ye must be born again. And notice the must. Stay tuned as we go now to our pulpit ministry here at the Free Presbyterian Church.
And I found a statement on the sacrament of baptism from the Vatican. And you can search this yourself. Here's the statement. Holy baptism is the basis of the whole Christian life, the gateway to life in the Spirit, and the door which gives access to the other sacraments. Through baptism, we are freed from sin and reborn as sons of God. We become members of Christ, are incorporated into the church, and made sharers in her mission. Baptism is the sacrament of regeneration through water in the Word. And yes, they use John 3:5 as something of a backup for that statement and definition. So let's just be clear that Roman Catholics are taught to bring their children to be baptized because it is the church that holds a bank of grace, and when the rite of baptism is performed, the child is now regenerated, becomes a part of the mission of the church, and every other sacrament and every other work is premised upon the infusion of grace at the moment of baptism. And therefore, that is a child of God. Now, so according to Roman Catholicism, baptism is crucial to the whole process of church life. They would say, no baptism, no hope. And they carry that to the point where they will conduct emergency baptisms. There's a child that is born and there's a threat to its life, well, the priest will rush and baptize that child right in the maternity unit of the hospital or wherever the infant is, in case, just in case, baptism is performed. And so the error is made right here by joining two things that are totally different. The rite of baptism by water and the miracle of the new birth by the Holy Spirit. Two things that in the Bible are separate. The error creeps in and they are linked together. And John 3:5 is used as something of a pretext to build on that practice. Now let's think about Nicodemus now. Let's think about how he took this statement of the Lord Jesus. When the Lord said to him, ye must be born again, did Nicodemus say, then I need to be baptized? There's not a hint of that. We don't even record that he was baptized at this time. We do not read that he recognized that the way to be born again was to have water administered to him by someone. There's not even a hint of that in the whole passage. If baptism is equal to the new birth, then how could Paul the Apostle say later, as he did in Corinthians 1, I thank God that I baptized none of you. The Apostle Paul never baptized a single Christian at Corinth. And he could say, I thank God I never baptized any of you. Now, the reason he said that, because there was a debate being going on, you know, who is better to be a follower of Paul or Apollos. There was divisions, and that was the reason why he said that. But it points out something, that baptism is not the new birth. If baptism was the new birth, then that should be the priority. We should be getting people baptized as quickly as possible, by any means possible, and that becomes the stage now for them to be part of the mission of the church, to give them the new birth, to give them understanding, and everything else comes after it. Let's get them baptized. But that's not what Nicodemus did in practice. It's not what the Apostle Paul did in practice. And of course, even the dying thief on the cross, when he asked to be remembered by the Lord, and the Lord says, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise," he did not arrange a baptism. Indeed, we can be fairly clear that the dying thief died without any baptism, any Christian baptism. He did not have that. And we cannot say that baptism by water is essential for eternal life. And you cannot reverse that and say that if you've been baptized by water, you then have eternal life. The two are separate. The two are unrelated. And it is a confusion to bring that together. So then I have to answer the question now, what is baptism? It's an outward symbol of an inward grace. Someone comes along to me as a minister in the church and says, "Pastor, would you consider baptizing me? I feel the need to be baptized." What am I going to say to him? "I would like to hear your testimony. Have you accepted Christ already as your Savior? Are you saved? Are you born again?" So my question is, we're not going to baptize you if you want to be born again. We're going to baptize you because you're telling us you're already born again. And if you're already born again, yes, you may be a candidate for baptism. That's the process. But the new birth is first before you come, certainly, to adult baptism. And if you were baptized as an infant, do not speak to me or anyone and say, "Then I don't need a new heart. I have a new heart. Because when I was baptized as an infant, this new life came into me." No, it didn't. No, it didn't. And I am going through this step by step by step because I want to take the rug from out under the feet of anyone that in any which way would trust in their baptism to be right with God, or to think that you're fit for heaven because you have been baptized. Now, unfortunately, in this country, multitudes of people think that way, or at least they make that the excuse that they need nothing more by way of religion. They can rest in their baptism. And that is false, confusing, and it may people even to rest in something that is totally wrong. And so, in a Protestant church, infant baptism is not baptismal regeneration. And it is not christening or Christianizing. Now, I know when infants are dedicated or baptized in a Protestant church, that very often their name is announced at that time. I'm sure the parents have already given them. The name might even be on their birth certificate long before the church service when they're baptized or are dedicated. But the name would be announced. And so there is attached that is the christening, the christening, the Christianizing. And that at that point, that infant becomes a Christian. Again, the thinking goes wrong. This is an error. And the Lord Jesus made it very clear. Ye must be born again. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. There must be the miracle of regeneration. There must be the coming of the Holy Spirit to live and reside in your heart and soul so that you become a new person. You are no longer flesh only, but you are born of the Spirit and you receive that new nature. And the thing to take away from this passage is that baptism and the new birth are totally unrelated. Let's get that clear as crystal today. If I achieve nothing else in this meeting this morning, I think I will have done a good job, a worthy task of totally differentiating between the miracle of the new birth, whereby a sinner is given a new heart and regenerated, and the point in time of baptism. And I come back to the dying thief. The dying thief on the cross was given a passport to heaven without baptism. And you can be in heaven if you're born again. But you can't be in heaven even though you're baptized and never born again. That's the seriousness of the matter. So whatever your view on baptism, and that's really a bigger subject, whatever your view on baptism, whatever you claim about its mode, its subject, time, age of the subject to be baptized, never, never let a Protestant Bible reading Christian say that baptism is the new birth. They're totally different, absolutely different. And so the preacher's task is to deliver people from skewed common thinking. This is the common thinking of the day, that baptism brings some grace. I'm almost tempted to use the word magical, but that might be a little strong. Some spiritual benefit that is equal or near equal to the new birth experience. Let me go back to J.C. Ryle again, to what he stated on this. He put it this way. Those churches of Christendom at the present day which distinctly maintain that all baptized persons are born of the Spirit are, as a general rule, the most corrupt churches in the world. Get it? Those who say the two are the same, baptism and the new birth, are the same. They're linked together. Those generally are the most corrupt churches in the world. And you can go down your own list of churches. Then he says, those bodies of Christians, on the other hand, which deny the connection between baptism and the new birth, are precisely those bodies which are the most pure in faith and practice and do most for the extension of the gospel in the world. That is a great fact that's not to be forgotten. And so if we as a church, if you as an individual, fall into the error of linking your baptism with the new birth experience, it will do you a disservice. It may ruin you as a Christian. It may ruin your salvation. It may damn your soul. That's a serious matter. And that's the error that we must kill. This is a weed that must be killed, or it will destroy you. And the Lord Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. And that brings me now to the evidences. The evidences to be seen in a born-again Christian. Now we're going to go back to this analogy of the birthing of a baby. This born again, and of course it is the new birth in the Christian's life, which is on a spiritual level. Let's dump any notion that it's physical. Let's dump any idea that it is something that happens to me in a physical realm. No, it is the work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, regenerating, operating upon your inner spirit directly, so that the will, the life, the nature of your heart is changed. That's this miracle of regeneration. Now, what are the evidences? Well, what are the evidences of a baby when it's born? The first thing you do, and usually, especially in the old days when the men were outside somewhere waiting and listening, the first thing you waited for was the cry. And when the baby cried, that was the announcement of a new birth. Likewise, in the spiritual realm, when you are born again of the Spirit, there's going to be that spiritual cry or prayer to your Heavenly Father. Because you are given the spirit of adoption, you are given this desire of heart to pray, Abba, Father. And that's the first sign. When Paul the Apostle was converted and Ananias was sent to talk to him, the Lord said, behold, he prayeth. That's one of the first evidences of the new birth experience. Now, if you are a praying man or woman, I rejoice. That's the mark that you're born of the Spirit. If you want to talk with God, if you want to go to His Word, listen to His voice, and bring your burdens and bring your praises in prayer, that's the mark that you have been born again. Then also, there is the desire for the milk. Peter talks about desiring the sincere milk of the Word. And mothers all know that it's vitally important that that newborn, that it feeds on the new milk right away, as quickly as possible. And those feeding instincts that are there are just absolutely amazing. And that child that wants to feed is the sign of life and health. And of course, when the child gets older and on the bottle, and maybe sitting on that high chair while mom prepares the bottle, you can see that little toddler just excited. The bottle's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And the desire to feed on the milk is wonderful. And then it just dunks it down to the last drop. And I remember R. Calvin, when he was a baby, when he finished the bottle, he pitched it as far as he could. The empty bottle was no good to him, but he could feed. And babies love to drink the milk. Now, if you're a Christian, if you are born again, there will be a natural desire to receive the sincere milk of the Word. And that's just the simple reading, memorizing, comprehending the statements of the Lord in His Word. If you're saying to me, I have no time for the Bible, I'm going to doubt your new birth experience. If you're telling me that I have no interest, no desire to feed on the Scriptures of truth, you have never been born again. That is a clear evidence of the new birth. You cry, you pray, and you desire the sincere milk of the Word. And then also, every baby that's born wants to grow. Those infant outfits don't last long. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, don't fit anymore. The child is growing. And when you take it to the doctor's office for a check, there it is on the chart, the weight gain, the length gain, that child is growing. The doctor marks off the growth. And of course, if you're a proud mom or dad, your child is off the chart, just growing away so much. That's just the way children are, they grow. Now, when you're born again and born of the Spirit, there will be spiritual growth in your life. You will not be marking time, because if you're not growing, you're wilting. And there will be a desire to grow. And Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you want to know more of the Savior. You want to learn of Him. You want to know more of the amazing love and redeeming grace that the Savior has for you. And there's a desire in your heart to learn. There's a thirst to grow in knowledge. And that's growth like a baby when it's able to lift up its head for itself. And the head in proportion to the body is huge. That's a mighty, mighty victory when that infant can lift up and hold up its own head even for a little bit. And then when it learns to roll over and learns to crawl, that's the growing. And pastors want to see that growth in their people. Where you are not growing, where we do not see the evidences of new life, feeding, thirsting, praying, we begin to wonder, is there something wrong? And so whatever helps you to know the Lord and to live in the enjoyment of His presence, then you take delight. And of course for this, the Lord puts His children into His church. The Lord pictures the church as the mother. God is our Father. The church is the mother. And the church is the place of caring, of feeding, nurturing, protecting. And the born-again soul will love the church. And the mother figure in his life is to care, to love, to feed. And I can't say put to sleep, because that's not my task. I can't say put you to sleep. My task is to keep you awake in church. But there is the caring, and there is the delighting in the church of the Lord Jesus. So ye must be born again. Ye must. And maybe there's someone here and you're living an empty, shell-like profession. You need to examine yourself. And you have now the tools by which you may examine yourself to see whether you are born of God. And if you are not showing those evidences, then you have to answer and say, I'm not fit for the kingdom of God. I am not a child of God. I'm not ready for heaven. Therefore, you need to cry out that that miracle might be your portion, and you will be born again, made a new creature, and brought into the blessed, blessed experience of new life in Christ Jesus. Don't have an empty profession that's empty of joy and gladness and the zeal and the delight of salvation. That's my prayer for you today and my burden for you. May the Lord give us that blessing and give everyone that clear, clear testimony that we're born again.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.